We're going to have a little catechism lesson this morning. Did you know that the catechism of the Catholic Church is divided into four main sections, which are based on the four aspects of the life of the early church that we heard about in our first reading today from the Acts of the Apostles, this book of scripture that tells us about the very first Christians in the very early days of the church. And we heard they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And so the first part of the catechism takes us step by step through the creed, the teaching of the apostles, which has been handed down to us today. And the third part of the catechism unfolds all of the different moral teachings of the church, which are all about the communal life, how we are called to live with one another in the church and in the world. The second part of the catechism speaks about the sacraments of the church, the greatest of which, of course, is the Holy Eucharist, the breaking of the bread in the words of Acts. And the fourth part of the catechism is dedicated to prayer. In other words, although much has transpired in the church and in the world over the last 2,000 years, the basic fundamentals of the church's life have been consistently the same from the very start. The creed, the sacraments, the moral teachings, and prayer. And today, to our own day, the church continues to hand on these four aspects of life in Christ. Here's your next catechism question. Do you remember the definition of a sacrament? The definition of a sacrament. I see many of our RCIA folks from this year. This is fresh for them, so they all can recite it word for you, I'm sure. But I won't put them on the spot. Every sacrament is made up of three components. We say every sacrament is, first of all, an outward sign, which means in all of the sacraments there are audible words and physical stuff, if you will, oil, water, bread, wine, that our Lord uses in the sacrament. And secondly, every sacrament gives grace. These outward signs are merely instruments for Christ to pour his grace into our lives, that gift of his own life that makes it possible for us to become holy, to become saints. And thirdly, every sacrament was instituted by Jesus himself. He's the one who gave us the sacraments, which is why we have seven sacraments and not six or eight, because our Lord chose to give us seven. And very beautifully in our gospel today, for this second Sunday of Easter, which we call Divine Mercy Sunday, we see the very moment in which Christ himself, risen from the dead, gave us one of the sacraments. One of the gifts of our risen Lord was the sacrament of penance or confession. He breathed on them, his apostles, we heard, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." That very moment in which Jesus gave to his apostles this gift and this responsibility to carry out into the world forgiveness and mercy, investing them with his own authority to forgive sins, this sacred authority and this sacred trust that the apostles then handed down to their successors and thus into our own day, to the bishops and the priests of the church today. This sacrament, the gift of the sacrament of confession, is a primary place where that wonderful blessing of divine mercy is lavished upon us. And so today, I'd like to invite each of us to reflect a bit upon our relationship with this sacrament. What place does it have in our lives? Do we appreciate and make good use of this font of grace and mercy that's ever available to us in the sacrament of penance. Sadly, it's often the case that this sacrament is under-practiced, if you will, in the life of the church. So many Catholics rarely come to confession, or maybe sometimes never even come to confession. And I say that's sad because this is a place of great power, where the grace of God is poured into our souls to help us in our frailty and in our weakness, in our struggle with sin, which is true of every one of us. Jesus gave us this sacrament because he knows our weakness. And that mercy that so fills his heart couldn't but give us in such a tangible, concrete way the opportunity to encounter him. Confession is not optional for us. The precepts of the church bind us to receive this sacrament at least once a year. That's the bare minimum. But a more frequent confession, maybe a monthly confession, really is necessary if we want to be generous with our Lord in responding to his call to become saints. If we want to know the fullness of life that the Gospel of John said to us today, that the words of his gospel were written that through them we might have life in Christ. We shouldn't forget, too, the close connection between confession and Holy Communion. These two sacraments, if you will, they work together in tandem in our lives. These two sacraments that we receive again and again throughout our lives. And if we receive communion often, but never go to confession, there's something not quite right in our lives. Something is a bit off. Because confession prepares our hearts. It readies our souls to receive the Lord fruitfully in the Holy Eucharist. It's a sacrament of preparation, if you will, for us to be able to draw deeply from the fount of mercy that is here in Holy Communion. Confession, the church teaches us, is necessary for us to receive before Holy Communion if we've fallen into mortal sin, into serious sin in our lives. If we, for example, miss Mass on a Sunday or holy day of obligation through our own fault, not because of sickness or bad weather, or if we fall into those serious sins against chastity that are so common in our time, or if we violate some other of God's commandments in a serious way, it's confession that restores us in his mercy to union with Christ so that we can benefit then from the nourishment he gives us in Holy Communion. So again, what is your relationship like with the sacrament of penance? How can you make better use of this great gift that Christ has given to us? Could you perhaps go more regularly? Or if you already go regularly, is the Lord inviting you to approach the sacrament with a better disposition, with a deeper trust, a more profound humility, avoiding a sense of routine, but recognizing that when we step through the door of the confessional, we're meeting Christ. It's a true encounter with our Lord, our crucified and risen Lord, who so longs to pour out his divine mercy for us. Just as our doctor can't heal us if we don't expose to him our wounds or tell him the symptoms of our diseases, so in the spiritual life we need to expose those wounds of our sins to the divine physician in the confessional, telling him how we've become spiritually ill so that we can receive in response the medicine of his mercy and love. Jesus spoke some very beautiful words to Saint Faustina, the great apostle of divine mercy, the Polish nun whom he called to carry to the world this message of mercy. I'd like to just share these words with you this morning. He said to her, "Daughter, when you go to confession, to this fountain of my mercy, The blood and water which came from my heart always flows down upon your soul and ennobles it. Every time you go to confession, immerse yourself entirely in my mercy with great trust, so that I may pour the bounty of my grace upon your soul. When you approach the confessional, know this, that I myself am waiting there for you. I am only hidden by the priest, but I myself act in your soul. Here, the misery of the soul meets the God of mercy. Tell souls that from this fount of mercy, souls draw graces solely with the vessel of trust. If their trust is great, there is no limit to my generosity. The torrents of grace inundate humble souls. The proud remain always in poverty and misery because my grace turns away from them to humble souls. May we not be so proud as to avoid the gift of grace our Lord offers us in the sacrament of confession. Instead, may we be humble in admitting our misery, our need for Him, and so draw deeply from this fountain, this infinite fountain of divine mercy. St. Patrick.